Once again, here's more exciting news about the sensational breakthrough medical miracle of once-a-day Bulk and Class low-sodium chlorosflar fluoroflavin phylogestin Galbiphase 2000, now recommended by 9 out of 10 doctors. Isn't that right, Dr. Milton Hayes?
Well, maybe so, but it's not recommended by me.
But 9 out of 10?
Well, I'm number 10, I guess, and I think the stuff is worthless and ineffective.
Wait a minute. You're saying once a day Bulk and Class low sodium chlorosflar fluoroflavin phylogestin Galbiphase 2000 is
worthless and ineffective?
You do.
I do.
You do.
Yes, I do.
Do you now?
Yes, I do now.
Well, liar, liar, Dr. Hayes, I think your pants are ablaze.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay, great.
And I'll tell you why, doctor.
Lay it on me.
You want to know why?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
I can't wait.
Well, you won't wait long, because here it comes, pal.
Okay.
In a recent medical journal, you were quoted as saying, nothing is better than once-a-day Vulcan-class low-sodium chlorosflar fluoroflavin phylogestin Galbiphase 2000, unquote.
That is not what I meant.
Oh, you didn't say those words. Nothing is better than once-a-day Vulcan-class.
I did say those words, but not that inflection.
What do you mean, that inflection?
I mean it's like this. Nothing is better than, what is it?
Once a day.
Vulcan class.
Low sodium.
Chlorosflar.
Fluoroflavin.
Phylogestin.
Galbiphase. 2000.
Right. In other words, taking nothing at all is better than that phony product.
Whoa. That is,
pretty harsh.
Yeah. Yeah, it,
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, well, deal with it, because it's all true. That's what.
So what you're saying is...
What I'm saying is nothing is worse than that crap.
What? Nothing is worse?
I mean,
Nothing is worse?
I mean, nothing...
Well, which is it, Dr. Big Mouth? Nothing is better, or nothing is worse? Which is it, Doctor?
I don't know.
Which is it?
Nothing is... worse.
Thank you very much. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, try once a day Bulk and Class low sodium chlorosflar fluoroflavin phylogestin Galbiphase 2000, because 1 out of 10 doctors agree.
Right.
Nothing could be worse.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
And away we go.
Oh, and sing again.
Did you ever watch, you remember Jackie Gleason? That might be a very arcane name for a lot of people in our audience, but he
huge
was
huge star in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, huge.
It, literally.
Television
huge.
Star. He was overweight, but he was so light on his feet, he could dance around. And, oh, God, he was really gigantically popular and famous. That's how the way he would introduce his television show, or at least one of his. I think he had a couple of three different shows. It would always be "And away we go." Johnny Carson often emulated him.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, hi there, ho there.
Hi there, ho there, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Let me run through. You know what? People are living longer. They're doing well. They're eating better. They're exercising, because there aren't too many people to tell you about that have shuffled off. So I'll go through it quickly, and then I want to ask you about something a little more personal.
Oh, goody.
Not that kind of personal, but I...
Oh, not that that stopped you in the past, but
no,
okay.
Never. Okay, here we go. Quickly now. A man who died at the age of 95, Dudley Loffman... he revived a tradition called contra dancing. This was in the 60s and 70s.
Is it line dancing?
Not exactly. It's New England folk dancing. It's similar to square dancing, but a little different. And it was almost extinct, and he brought it back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, partners line up across from one another, and then he talks and tells them where to go, where to turn, how to move. He's dictating the dancer's movement. Dudley Laughlin, here's a little of what he did.
Two ladies, go forward and back. Forward again and do-si-do. Now everybody do-si-do in the corners all.
Very fun. I don't know that I would like to do that kind of dancing, maybe because I can't, but it's just so joyful. It just looks like fun. People are having a good time. Nothing downbeat about it. It was really cool, and he did it for a long, long time. He died in a cabin that he had built years ago by himself, and he was 95, Dudley Laughlin.
I kind of like the idea of somebody telling you what to do on the dance floor.
Take your partner, do-si-do, turn around and kiss your toe. Yeah, I love
that. Slap your partner round and round. Yeah, I don't know. People get a little too out of control on the dance floor, so I think it's good to have somebody in charge. Yeah.
Don't step on their toe. Don't throw them around and out the window. Yeah.
I did like the outfits. I thought the...
Once in a while, you'd be stopping at a diner or something like that, and a bunch of square dancers will come walking in to have breakfast or something.
Yeah.
The women wearing those big, what they call
poofy skirts.
Poofy skirts, yeah. I was going to say petticoats, but they're very wide. And then the guys, just jeans and belt buckles, I guess. For the
and hats.
And Got hats. A hat. Yeah, hats.
Got to wear a
it's
hat.
It's a very specific and maybe esoteric type of dancing activity, but it's still very popular. But this was a little different. It was called contra dancing, and the man's name was Dudley Laughlin. Then a woman named Jennifer Finch passed away, 59 years old. She was a bass player for an alt rock band called L7, and I know you love them.
Do I ever?
Yeah, because they do pop and metal and grunge and alt rock and all that kind of stuff. Man, that's not my kind of music, but man, they when they played, this was an all-girl band, by the way, L7. They play hard. Jennifer Finch, she is gone. Then, this guy's very intriguing to me. I never heard of him before. He had something of a hit for a song called Night Call. His name was Kavinsky. One name. His real name was Vincent Balorgi, but he went by Kavinsky. And he was a French electronic musician and a DJ. And this song, Night Call, that you're hearing right here, it was featured in the title sequence of a movie called Drive.
Oh, yes.
Starred Ryan Gosling. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. I'm giving you a night call. Tell you how I feel.
2011, I think. Kavinsky, very different. Did a lot of other music, but this was his featured song, Night Call.
Show you where it's dark.
And finally, and thus this just happened as we were about to record it today, a woman named Abby Lane, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Me lo dijo Adela. Me lo dijo Adela.
Her name is A-B-B-E. Could be Abe, like Abe Lincoln, but I'm going to go with Abby.
Probably Abby.
94 years old. And the obit that I read said she's a singer, a dancer, and an actress.
Abby Lane with my man. Abby Lane with the man.
And I always wondered, why don't they put people's full biographies in these obits? You know, like, she was a singer, dancer, actress, clerk at 7-Eleven, worked at Quiznos, mowed lawns, cleaned toilets.
It taught me a lot. But there's one thing that I've got. It's my memory.
That's as much as they gave her. But she was a star vocalist for a guy named Xavier Cuga in the 50s and 60s. Later, Xavier Cuga had another featured vocalist, but Abby Lane was his big vocalist, and apparently she sang Latin songs, but she wasn't Latin herself. She was a Jewish woman, but she died back in April, Lisa. They just released her obit, so she's been gone for a while.
What took them so long?
I don't know. I guess they wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of cha-cha-cha music and stuff. Pope Pius, one of the popes, called her sinfully sexy.
Ooh.
And that's, you know, what I've been accused of, too. So.
Oh, I know.
I would take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
I was her.
Right.
Abby Lane, 94. She married Xavier Cuga, and they were quite a sensation back in the day. And that's it. That's all I got. Okay, now here's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2 years ago that you had two dogs. You've almost always had two dogs.
Almost always, yeah.
At a time.
I seem to always have two at a time. I just feel like they need a buddy.
And you lost your beloved Quince about exactly 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, today. Yeah.
So obviously.
Yeah, today. And he...
Yeah.
He struggled quite a bit with cancer, and it finally became pretty clear that I didn't want him to be, you know, that's a tough decision when they don't just die naturally or whatever, but figuring out the timing on our own selfishness of keeping them around and fear of letting them go versus their own comfort. So that was really tough. But today is the anniversary of Sweet Quince, who is gone. Yeah,
I got to meet Quince many times.
Yeah, he's such a sweet boy.
So I obviously then I want to, you know, everybody wants to give you a period of time. You don't replace a dog the way you replace a, you know,
a man, a
paper towels or something, or a man.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. Get the picture?
You know, you think, and maybe, do you know, did you notice that your other pooch seemed to miss him? I mean, did they mourn? They mourn?
Yeah. It was interesting. Sherman and I both had a couple of months where... And Sherman could be picking up on my own mood as well.
Sure.
But I just remember that whole rest of the summer a couple of years ago. We didn't do a lot. We slept a lot. It was important for me, for Sherman, to see that Quince. I was lucky enough to have a vet come here to my house. So we had a nice setting on the creek, and I was able to hold him, you know. And that was hard. But I wanted to have Sherman kind of know that, oh, he's not here anymore, like know and sniff him and know that he was gone. So but it's been really nice, you know, having Sherm's 10 years old, if you can believe it now. And we've had a couple of years alone, and we've been ready for a puppy for, I don't know, I've been kind of looking for about the last 6 months ish nothing's really come through, but
except, what are you telling us, that's about to change?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool. What's the
story,
so Morning Glory?
I just sent you a picture. I just put a deposit.
Okay, let me take a look here.
On a puppy.
Oh. Okay.
And I'm very nervous.
Oh, my God.
Isn't he cute?
Looks like a little tiny Ewok.
He's
incredibly cute. My gosh, that looks like a painting. It doesn't look like a real dog.
Yeah, I'm afraid when I get there, it'll be an AI dog. That's how not real he looks.
And it's only his head and his shoulders. Maybe he's got a giant, maybe he's got like no legs, one leg or something like that.
I would still take him and love him.
Yeah, I would too. He's a beautiful Lisa.
But he's 10 weeks old, and
you got to post a picture of him on.
I'll post it on this episode.
If only I could
myself so very lucky just to have some company to share a cup of tea with me.
Now his name, it says here, you sent me that, and it says you just sent a deposit for Rusty.
Yeah.
I like Rusty. That's
no.
A cute name. What?
No.
You're not going to keep Rusty?
No, I'm not going to keep Rusty.
Are you afraid of tetanus?
That's a dumb name, and it's also the name of a relative that's I'm not super fond of. How about that's how I'll say it? So no,
Not Rusty. Okay.
And by the way,
How about Krusty?
I have always changed the names of every dog I've ever gotten. When I got Quince, he was a rescue at 2.5, and he was treated really badly, and I rescued, got him through a rescue site. Do you know what his name was? Do you remember what his name was?
Trump?
His name was Scooter. And I'm like, no!
I want to do something even more exciting!
How about riding a scooter?
Wow, what are those?
Go, 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 let's ride a scooter to have some fun.
I'm not having a dog named Scooter.
I think that's actually a pretty good name for a dog, because every dog I've ever had at some point does scoot across the carpet.
That's yeah. Why I'm not having. So I changed his name. Do you remember Daisy?
Yes.
My other Cocker Spaniel?
Yeah, sure.
I rescued her, too. Do you know what her name was when I got her?
Scooter?
Tina.
Scooterina? Oh, Tina is a crappy name for a dog.
It's such a
lovely name for a person.
That's yeah. Such a crap. And she was from Linwood. Tina from Linwood.
Tina, nobody else but Tina. That's the little lady's name.
Well, now, come on. She didn't choose to be from Linwood.
Hey, no.
Linwood's a fine town, I think.
No. So, yeah, I've changed every dog's name that I've ever gotten. And they do fine. And, I mean, these dogs were a couple, like Daisy and Quince were a couple of years old when I got them. And they just say, yeah, you treat them every time you say their name and they look at you and all that. But, no, I am kind of wondering. Now, he's a little Cavapoo, which is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel mixed with a poodle.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's a cute dog.
Yeah, he's super cute, and he has got a red coat with a white chest. So that's probably why they just threw the name Rusty on there. But
because he's rust colored, it makes sense.
Yeah, he's a little rust colored. But I don't know. I'm kind of batting some names around. And by the way, I'm going to need some. I'm very nervous about this. I haven't had a puppy in 10 years. Sherman, I got when he was a baby, and it, as you know, it brings you to your knees. A puppy is not. There's no messing around with a puppy.
Yeah, we forget. Yes. They are a lot of work.
They are a lot.
You got to run them outside a lot. I think you should wait until you actually have the dog before bestowing a name on him.
I agree. I'm getting him next week.
You might wind up with Shitter on the Carpenter. You know, that could be his name.
Yeah.
At least temporarily. Yeah.
Well, I have a short list of names, and it's funny that you mentioned this guy that croaked. Xavier is such a great name. I really do love that. I think that's a great name for a dog. Xavier. Xavier.
Xavier.
Whatever.
X-A-V-I-E-R.
Yeah.
Xavier.
A-V-I-E-R. Oh, E-R, not A-R. Xavier.
Yes, E-R.
Got it.
Xavier, I believe.
Okay, you know what? Never mind. If I can't pronounce it sober, I'm never going to call him when I've had a martini. So forget it.
Just shorten it to X. 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 And your old husband will show up.
But I'm going to break my rusty cage and run.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you're right. I'm going to wait till I see him. And, oh my gosh, just the things I have to think about. Puppy-proofing the house, getting his food. I bought a little collar for him, all this stuff. And I have a feeling Sherman's going to look at me and go, you know what? this is bullshit, man. We had a nice thing going for a couple of years.
And now you bring this interloper in.
And
here.
Now this little asshole is going to be here wanting my attention and wanting to curl up in my dog bed and wanting to play with my toys. Sherman's going to be probably not super thrilled about it, but we'll see. The difference now, though, is that I had Sherman when I was traveling a lot for work before COVID. I mean, I was gone. So I got a break from him as a puppy. I was like, I'd call the dog sitter. I go, all right, I'm out of here. Good luck with him. And I'd be like, thank God I'm in a hotel room with no puppy for 4 days.
When are you getting this hound?
Next week.
He's pretty ugly,
isn't he? Right. Horrifying to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. But you think about it, Lisa, if you saw a human walking down the street with that face, you'd go, oh, my God.
No.
That is the homeliest person I've ever seen.
Yes.
But in a dog, we have to recalibrate our idea of what beauty is. But we do. We know dogs that are cute and some that are not so attractive, but.
Yeah, and everybody has a different aesthetic around what that means. Yeah. But you must remember JoJo, the dog-faced boy. He was a staple of the, was it Weekly World News?
Yes.
Or whatever the tabloids were.
As long as I can remember, I remember watching, we didn't have any pets for the most part in our house.
That surprises me with all those boys, and that surprises me.
We tried it a couple times, but we were bad. We didn't take care of our pets. You know, my parents would bring the pet in. Okay, now you boys, you remember, you got to feed these animals and stuff. And I've told you this story before.
Yeah, don't tell it again, please.
Okay, I won't.
Please don't tell it again. But anyway, so you didn't have pets growing up. Yes, I know.
Okay,
I don't want to hear it.
The hamster story?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I won't.
Stop. La, la, la.
Go back to episode 125. I don't remember when I
told. Don't tell me that.
At any rate, so having an animal was a new thing. The only thing my dad, I can remember, got us. It was Easter, and my dad brought in three rabbits. They were white rabbits. They had the pink eyes.
And if you go chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall.
And there's a picture of the three of us holding these rabbits, two of my brothers and me. We've gone to church. Dad presents us with the new rabbits. We look as happy as can be. But right after the picture was taken, the rabbits escaped. They ran out into the woods next
to our
house.
They knew what they were up against. We're out of here.
And we never saw them again.
Oh.
I mean, they were our pets for about 10 minutes.
Good for them.
You know, in hindsight, it was good for them. Then my dad thought, well, I'll ameliorate their loss. So he brought these little turtles in. They used to be pretty common, but they're tiny. They're the size of a cookie. And he would bring those in as if that would be a fun pet for a kid. You know, come on, let's go out in the yard and run around. Come on, keep up.
I had a little turtle. His name was Tiny. Put him in the bathtub to see if he could swim.
And my dad would make a thing of grabbing the turtle and turning it over and kissing it on its belly.
Oh.
Which is not a good idea. That's a good way to get salmonella, I think.
God, you're right.
Yeah.
Or it might pee in your face.
They might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had turtles on the half shell, but that was it for pets, pretty much. We got a dog called Coco because it was brown, you know, like Rusty. Only this time it was Coco.
Yeah.
And Coco, Coco proved that we were not boys that should have a pet, because my brother Sean would take Coco and he'd hold Coco like a bagpipe. And he'd hold him, and if he'd squeeze him a little bit as he held him, the dog would go, roof, roof, roof. So my brother Sean would go, he'd sing this song.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Yeah, he'd do it all the time. Poor Coco.
Poor Coco.
Yeah, Coco belongs to the ages now. It's too bad, too, because if Coco was still around, she'd be 62 years old. But what I was getting to is that I was also enchanted with any animal on TV. So I loved Lassie and Rin Tin Tin and My Friend Flicka. There was another horse show called Fury. And I was also intrigued by Smokey the Bear. And they showed pictures of this bear that had been rescued from a forest fire as a baby cub. And they decided, the Forest Service decided, let's make Smokey the symbol of forest fire prevention.
Yeah.
And when Smokey the Bear would come on TV in those public service announcements to tell you not to start forest fires, wildfires, whatever, he had a huge voice, like you would expect.
Yes, that's from right. A
remember, only you can prevent forest fires. And
hold on just a second. Because would it be, a bear wouldn't have, you know, now remember, only you can prevent forest fires. That's a bear voice. So that works really well. But either there's no other choice.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Smokey has kind of wimped down over the years.
Really?
Yeah, it started it big. Remember! It's like he's going to scare the crap out of a little kid.
Yeah.
I'm not touching matches. Don't you worry, Mr. Bear. Please don't eat me. I won't start a fire. You better not.
Yeah, it's a good voice choice for that.
Yeah, and so various people have done Smokey voices over the years. Here's a few of them.
The next time you come to the forest, do me a favor. Only you.
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Only you can prevent forest fires, and Smokey's friends don't play with matches.
And one of them was Sam Elliott.
That's interesting.
Here's Sam Elliott as Smokey the Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's when the Smokey voice was big.
Yeah.
But now Smokey is, somebody decided, you know what, Smokey's scaring kids.
Only you.
And so,
well, that's the whole point. Scare them so they don't screw crap up.
And they thought, let's make him more relatable. Let's make him a little less threatening.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Now Smokey's much more like,
hey kids, hi, it's Smokey the Bear. Yeah, hey, you know the lighter your dad has for his cigars? Don't touch that thing. Especially if you're going in the woods.
It would be
okay?
Really, really, really bad.
Thank you. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Yeah, they need to beef him up again.
Only you can prevent wildfires, kids.
They've had Smokey around as a spokesperson for 80 years. And I think you're right. I think they get to turn it back around, make him big and threatening, especially here in the Northwest where we're getting wildfires even as we're speaking.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's terrible. They're all around us where we live here. I wanted to go visit my old Almost Live television show colleague Ross Schaefer, who was giving a speech over in Eugene, Oregon. So I hopped in the Patmobile and drove over to Eugene a couple of days ago and had a great lunch with him and stuff. But along the way, just smoke everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's awful. It's really awful. I have two friends that have homes in Spokane where, you know, they've had a couple of big fires. They caught a guy that was the arsonist for one of the fires, which is tremendous that they caught him. I think somebody that starts a fire like that, that destroys homes and possibly injures or kills a bunch of people, that they ought to be given a life.
And animals.
And I have two friends that their houses are okay, but all the homes around them burned down. Now, what a feeling that would be. A combination of relief and also guilt.
Yeah.
Why was my house spared? They are asking themselves that question.
I want to get back to that in just a moment. But did you know that today is Smokey Bear's birthday? I can't believe you brought him up. I just looked it up. Today, August 9th, 1944, was when he was created. So he is 82 years old.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, so happy 82nd birthday to Smokey the Bear. I just looked it up. That's crazy that you just brought that up.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me, and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Make a wish, dear, and blow out the candles.
Here they go.
Wasn't there also, Lisa, a thing where he was Smokey the Bear? Like,
Correct. The was
his middle name, and now it's just Smokey Bear.
Actually, you are bringing up something that people falsely remember. It was never Smokey the Bear. It's always been Smokey Bear. And that's one of those things that we think has happened or was that never happened. Remember, we were talking about that a few episodes ago. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's always been Smokey Bear. And I just said it wrong, too. So there you go. Smokey Bear. Smokey Bear.
Okay, okay. But I do know this. It is Smokey the Robinson.
People say I'm the life of the party because I tell a joke or two.
It is McGruff the Crime Dog. If you want it.
What about Huckleberry the Hound?
It's just Huckleberry.
Oh, shoot. Shoot.
So take a good look at my face.
But I want to get back to the wildfires because I don't want to gloss over that. It's such a horrifying thing. Are you aware? I'm sure you are.
No.
Yes, you are. Of these online betting sites where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody brought up the possibility that people could literally bet on, I bet a wildfire is going to break out in Spokane on this date, and then go make it happen. And I just find these online where you can bet on anything just really horrifying and destructive because they're not betting on fun things like who's going to win
the Kentucky Derby or something.
Right. Yeah. They're betting on horrifying things like, you know, when is a war going to break out between these two? I find the whole thing very distasteful. But,
well, it is. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
but,
I don't know if that had anything to do with this, but I am glad that they found the guy.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think that should be an extraordinarily stiff sentence. And not only that, I'm also about restitution in terms of not just locking somebody up, but they need to pay for that crap. They need to be rebuilding. They need to be replanting the trees. They need to be doing all of those things. I think just throwing someone in jail or giving them the guillotine is far too light of a consequence for something that...
Oh, you're for bringing the guillotine back?
Sure. But before that, they got to plant a bunch of trees. Yeah, they got to plant a bunch of trees and they got to fix all the houses. I think that should be their sentence.
That would be a good new job creation thing.
I would be.
What are you doing now, Larry? Yeah.
Oh, I'm making guillotines.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm working for Acme Guillotines now.
Oh, really? Great. Good deal.
Yeah, you don't need a bunch of them. You just need one.
Yeah,
it's not like you're going to
use good one. Yeah.
One good one.
Yeah.
On wheels.
You do not
want to roll it around.
You do not want a poorly made guillotine that is going to, the blade's coming down and stopping halfway. We can't have that.
Or not sharp enough, and it only gets a little bit of the job done.
Just part of his head. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay, you know what? Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, I'm not. I'm glad you brought it up. It needed to be spoken of.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head.
Hey, here's something that has nothing to do with anything.
Good.
And
what?
But as I was mentioning, I had lunch with Ross Schaefer. I don't know how many people remember that he was the original host of the TV show in Seattle.
And I can't believe he still agrees.
And if you don't know the TV show, that's okay. It may mean nothing to a lot of our listeners, but it was a show that ran for 15 years in Seattle, a sketch comedy show. Very unusual in any market of any size that you would have your own sketch comedy show, but we did. And one of Ross's best friends was a guy that actually grew up and came from West Seattle. He was a stand-up comedian named George Miller, who passed away some years ago. The guy just kills me. I thought he was really funny. And Ross told me a story about, and this wasn't in George Miller's act, apparently, but it's just a story that he, from him, he lived across the street from one of those comedy places in L.A. Could have been the Comedy Store. I don't know the different comedy venues there, but he lived right across the street in an apartment building with a girlfriend, George Miller did. And his girlfriend had a picture of Jesus on the wall of their apartment. So George, he and his girlfriend got in some kind of fight, and he takes the picture of Jesus, and I think he drew on it, or he threw it in the trash, something. He eliminated the picture of Jesus that his girlfriend had on the wall. And she was furious about it. And so George, she yells and yells at George, and then he finally says, "I'm sorry. I thought that was a picture of Dan Fogelberg."
Brother.
Born in the valley and raised in the tree.
Hey, this will make you happy. There was a song, the reason people think it's Smokey the Bear, sorry to keep going around in circles on this, but there was a hit song written in 1952 by Steve Nelson and Jack Rollins.
Well, I love those guys, yeah.
And they added the into the tune, 1952 tune,
all right.
Smokey the Bear, to make it rhyme, and the rhyme fit the music. So that is how that started, and I'm all done now talking about Smokey.
Here it is.
With the Ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest, always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear.
Lisa, here's something that bugs me. You know how I am. I'm a nut. Most people, we have the capability now when you watch a television show. I don't know how many people watch anything live anymore, except sports. You would tape it, or you don't really tape, but you can fast forward through commercials. You don't have to put up with them.
Yeah.
But I watch commercials. I used to write and produce TV and radio commercials, so maybe that's why I do.
I watch commercials, too. I listen to commercials, too, because I'm in the voiceover industry.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so you
want to
know who your competition is. But there's one. Here's a new one that's bugging me.
Okay.
And it's purely has to do with the industry, I guess, and I get that it's a commercial and it can only be 30 seconds long, and I know why they made the choice, but this bothers me.
What?
Here's the commercial. It's for Jardiance.
The little pill with a big sunbreed.
Jardiance plays a role in my story too.
Okay, here's the part that bugs me. The director yells cut. Right in the song isn't even over yet, and he's yelled cut. That's not how you do it. You got to let some air happen after the end of the song, and then you cut. So you got breathing room to make your edit. That bugs me. It's just, I know it's stupid, but every time I see it, I know there must be commercials that drive you crazy too, for reasons that you can't even explain to somebody else. To the layman.
You're just trying to get me to be on your side on this, because that doesn't really bug me.
Oh, yeah. You got to be on my side. Hey, remember?
I love it when people do that. They go, you know, what really bugs me is when da-da-da-da-da. You must have things like that bug you, right? So that you're not alone.
You got to say right a lot. So I'm standing there by the bus, right? I don't know if it's right or not. Maybe it's wrong. I don't know. No, but so I get on the bus, right? And then the bus driver pulls out, right? And then he takes a left, right?
Anyway, I know you want validation, but I want to throw this at you.
All right.
Is it the fact that it's just the song is cut off, so it's no? Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna.
No, go ahead.
Well, it reminds me of the opening to the great show, which was a spinoff of Breaking Bad, and the show was called Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. And I always loved the opening credits because they were just sort of messy, and they were like old-timey Polaroid pictures that would flash on the screen. And then at the very end of the opening sequence, they would just cut, like, right, just cut that little snippet of music off there. It was a very jarring ending.
Yes, I remember that. I think they're trying to get your attention with that. Think okay, about well, this. We now have the capability, if you're watching Netflix or most of those shows, that they have a thing that comes on that says, skip intro.
Yeah.
You know, you can skip the opening credits. And I'm thinking of the guy that worked his butt off to put that sequence together. He says, he's so proud of it. And I brought the titles in right here, and I used a shot of a dog here. And I'm just so happy with beautiful sequence that I put together. And people just go, and go right past it and get into the show. That's got to be shattering for someone.
Shattering.
Now, there are people, Lisa, that like to take credit for stuff that they really didn't do. We have a president like that. However,
I guess you're right.
I'm going to take credit for something that I want to, that I think this podcast was responsible for making a major change in a television commercial. Now, you remember that we talked about the Pepto-Bismol commercial where the guy is got gas and they have a little fart noise in the commercial, which, you know, I'm not a prude and we certainly get pretty tacky on this podcast, but this is a podcast. This is not an over-the-air broadcast commercial. Here's the sound in the original commercial.
Who wants to share what they're holding in?
I'm holding in gas.
And the altered version.
Who wants to share what they're holding in?
I'm holding in gas.
But we made that happen. It does show you what we can achieve as citizens of this country.
It's not the actual end result, which would be the fart. It is the brewing of one is what you hear.
I guess. My point is that they heard what we said.
Okay.
And they said, yes. You know what?
Got it.
We got to change this thing. If Peculiar Podcast has a problem with it, we better change it right now because they are incredibly influential.
Yes.
I had somebody the other day, Lisa, ask me, how many listeners do you guys have? And I lied, Lisa. I lied. And I told him, I said, we got 12. You and I both know we only have 8.
Why are you trying to inflate our...
I wanted him to be impressed.
Was it Ross Schaefer that you said that to?
No, Ross knows that it's only 8, but it was somebody else, and I lied to them, bald face lie right in front of them.
Yeah.
Or is it bold face lie? I don't know.
I don't know. We've had that discussion before. Yeah,
I'm sorry about.
Well,
it.
You know, maybe we don't know for sure. There might be people that listen that don't admit it to anybody.
Yeah, that could be. That might be. But I just, a light came on for me. And I thought, you know what? Okay, maybe we do only have 8 people listening, but the influence of those 8 people is huge. If it can make a major advertiser change their direction, and it's not cheap to do it. They had to go in, they had to re-edit it, put new audio in. Yeah, I think we are a powerhouse in waiting. That's what I think.
And waiting.
I was watching Dateline NBC. I've talked about this show before. Comes on late at night, usually on the weekends.
Is it still airing with new episodes? That thing's been on for 100 years.
Yeah, I don't know if they're new episodes or not.
Oh, maybe you're just watching the reruns.
But it continues to be a big deal. People love it. And it is, to me, the most well-structured and compelling show on television. It ought to be a model for a lot of other shows. They get you hooked in there. And then just at the moment you think, okay, here we go. When we come back, we'll tell you about. And really good. You cannot tear yourself away. It's like a drug. Kids, don't get started on Dateline NBC. It's a gateway. To other shows.
I have heard this.
Even more compelling.
Yeah, I've heard this before, that, and I've I, for that reason, don't even want to start down that slippery path. I'm sure I've probably seen a Dateline episode here or there in my life, but I'm not going to go back and start. I've heard that once you get in, you cannot. It's like the mafia.
Right.
You just can't get out.
Yeah, they pull you in.
Yeah.
There is, it's almost always murder. In fact, I think it's always murder. Somebody's been murdered. Who did it?
Yeah.
Was it the ex-boyfriend? Was it a stranger? Was it, you know, their cousin from Dubuque?
And the neighbor. It's always the neighbor.
Sometimes. And sometimes they can't find the body for a long time. No corpus delicti. So they don't really have a case. But they finally resolve it at the end and everything.
Okay. I was going to ask you, because one of my biggest annoyances is when I've read an entire book or I've gotten through an entire movie and they don't tell you what happened.
I know.
God, that infuriates me. And then people go, oh, but that's the beauty of it. You're left up to your own thinking around what could possibly have been. No. I want things spoon-fed to me. I want it tied up in a nice little neat bow. I don't want to be laying there thinking about it for freaking months and then just pissed off that I spent all that time. Tell me how it ends.
The way real life often does not. I want this satisfaction.
Exactly.
In this case, because real life annoys me. I don't get the answer to that. So I'm watching, Patty, my wife, is watching it, Dateline NBC, the other night, and I'm going, honey, this is just a show about murders and how people screw up and the different ways they figure out to murder someone. Well, why are you watching something like that? She said, I'm just trying to get ideas. And I said, well, most of these people get caught, you know. And she said, yeah, well, there's a lot of stupid people out there.
She makes a good point.
I'm worried.
But quickly on sequences that TV shows that have sequences that say skip intro, there's a lot of shows that give you a lot of clues and change. They're like The Simpsons is a great example of never having the same intro, which was always fun to watch. But another one I know you liked that you made me realize was Ozark.
Yeah, great.
That,
show. Great.
That always had these four little pictures in their opening sequence of every episode that had something to do with that particular plot of that episode, like little cryptic clues, like there might be a key and then a flame and then a something else. And that I never skipped. I always wanted to see what. So
yeah, pretty smart.
Yeah, the intro guys actually kind of came up with that. And yeah, there you go. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, you were talking about the person that's not very bright as I lead into this joke.
Okay.
I don't like this. Is a it's sexist, it's misogynistic, but it is a form of a joke that is traditional. So please excuse me, but this is one of those blonde jokes. And for no fair reason, blonde haired women especially are considered to be not very smart.
So can, before you do that, is there any way you can swap the hair color and the gender and make this work?
Yes. Yes, let's do exactly that.
All right. Okay? Let's say maybe he has red hair.
These are actually about women. Okay. Do you want to make it about guys? Yeah, let's make it about guys.
That's
let's
what
make
I'm it saying. About. Instead
okay,
of you just
from
said
from women to a guy with red hair. Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right, here we go.
Let's see if this works.
Three guys are about to be executed. One guy is a brunette. I mean, he's got dark hair. The other guy's a blonde.
Yeah.
And then the third guy is a redhead.
Okay.
His red hair. The guard brings the brunette guy forward first, and the executioner says, do you have any last requests? And the guy says, no. And the executioner shouts, ready, aim. And suddenly, the brunette guy yells, earthquake! Everybody is startled, and they're looking around. And in all the confusion, the brunette guy escapes.
What?
Yeah. So then the guard brings the blonde guy forward, and the executioner asks again, do you have any last requests? And the guy says, no. And the executioner says, ready, aim. And then the guy yells, tornado! And again, everybody's startled. They look around. And guess what? That guy escapes too, the blonde guy.
So smart.
Yeah. So now the redheaded guy, he's got it all figured out, Lisa.
Okay.
The guard brings him forward, and the executioner says, "Do you have any last requests?" And the guy says, "Nope." And the executioner says, "Ready? Aim?" And the redheaded guy says, "Fire!"
Very good. See, it worked beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.